Hello, I'm Ruth Morton, an IT Pro Advisor with Microsoft Canada. Welcome to the IT Manager Podcast, a monthly audio information series designed to provide a fresh perspective on the latest IT trends and insight on how you can leverage technology to further drive business value. I invite you to visit microsoft.ca/ITpodcast for supplementary resources, case studies, and other podcast episodes. As business moves at a faster pace and demands in IT departments continue to grow, finding a way to streamline and simplify IT management and reduce costs continues to grow in importance. So it's not surprising then that virtualization technology, which has been proven to help reduce costs and cut IT management time requirements, has become such a hot topic in IT shops across Canada. Today's typical server usage scenario sees about 10% of a server's computing power actually used. Using virtualization technology to bring that utilization rate up to even just 60% means a six-fold reduction in space requirements and the associated costs. Recent IDC findings show that server virtualization solutions are the fastest growing segment of the server market and are a good indicator that virtualization has many fans indeed. Today we'd like to take a closer look at two very specific scenarios tailor-made to benefit from virtualization technology. Joining me in the studio today are Bruce Koper and Dale Hall from Microsoft Canada. And on the phone we have Bob Rodebush from DoubleTake Software and Melvin Goodyear from Newfoundland Power to discuss how virtualization can be used for advanced disaster recovery and business continuity planning, as well as managing remote offices.
Thanks for having us.
Great, thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Bob, let's start with you. When considering disaster recovery planning, what do IT managers typically need to look for?
Well, you know, no enterprise IT infrastructure is immune from disasters, things like disk crashes, power failures, natural disasters. They inevitably happen. And so when that time comes, IT's on the hook for making sure that those systems can be restored and back up and running as quickly as possible. And organizations tend to have a core set of disaster recovery needs that are shared, regardless of the size of the company or the industry that they're in. And typically those things are a way to do fast backup and more importantly, fast recovery, something that provides minimal impact to the production operations and something that delivers a high level of data integrity. And the challenge for IT organizations is really finding a balance between those needs and the financial requirements of the organizations. In other words, disaster recovery solutions need to be affordable.
Very much so. I mean, today we see our customers spend up to about 80% of their disaster recovery budgets on just the most vital servers that they see within the organization, and then sometimes as little as about 20% on the total server network. The cost of technology and resource demands created by some of today's most commonly used disaster recovery solutions often prevent IT departments from protecting more of their server infrastructure just by virtue of the fact that the incremental costs are very high.
Bruce, when most of us think of virtualization, we tend to think of server consolidation or faster server deployment, and disaster recovery may not be the first thing that comes to mind. So can you speak to us about why you think virtualization solutions are a good addition to disaster recovery strategies?
Well, as a key component of a dynamic IT infrastructure, an environment that helps people in the organization anticipate and respond to business challenges, also business opportunities as well, virtualization technology really helps businesses perhaps be a lot more dynamic, a lot more agile, and respond to challenges that might arise in general. Disaster recovery is just a part of this overall scenario. There are still many organizations which have traditional methods like tape backup, manual processes. And if you consider that the amount of data that organizations often have to manage and manipulate is pretty large, these sort of manual processes as part of the disaster recovery plans can take or mean it takes an awful lot longer, maybe 24 hours, whatever it happens to be, to get up and running again. So really the key to this is sort of the recovery time objective with the complex systems and the vast amount of infrastructure and data that we have out there.
Right. And I think one of the challenges of tape-based disaster recovery is that organizations can only restore the data to the point of the last backup with might have been the night before the incident. So any data that they created since the last tape backup will be lost. And that's really where leveraging solutions like real-time replication in addition to monitoring and automated failover in combination with virtualization can really make a very significant impact to an organization's disaster recovery plan. So in the event of a disaster, these solutions really can cut down not just the cost for disaster recovery, but also the amount of data that they'll lose in the event of a disaster and the time that it takes them to get back up and running.
Yeah, we went from our normal team-based backup, which we still have implemented for any functional corruptions, but when we went to real-time data replications with our file and print system, we were estimating between 24 and 30 hours to restore all of our data with a 24-hour data loss. With real-time replication, it's down to recovery time in minutes and up to the minute with no data loss.
Certainly, I'd say the same features of virtualization that, you know, we find it attractive for server consolidation, like encapsulation and portability, really, you know, take disaster recoverability to the next level by allowing that virtual machine, because it is so portable, to allow it to bring up at an alternate site in a matter of minutes, really adds to flexibility that organizations have around DR. Having said that, you know, we shouldn't take away from the fact that virtualization can also help in a traditional tape backup scenario by leveraging volume shadow copy built in the Windows Server, along with VSS and virtualization-aware backup product like Data Protection Manager. You can still get some real flexibility by doing a snapshot of a running physical machine and all the virtual machines running on top of it without bringing anything offline.
Melvin, Newfoundland Power is actually taking this path as part of your disaster recovery plan. So can you tell us a bit about the reason why you chose to go the virtual route?
Well, Newfoundland Power, here in Newfoundland, we actually service somewhere around 220 to 230,000 customers in over 600 communities in this province. So being electricity, we can't afford any downtime. So what we decided to look at virtualization and help us out with our traditional tape backup system. And in any event, if we did have a system failure, we could certainly switch over to a standby system within minutes, whereby beforehand, you know, we could be a day, 2 days, and God forbid if we had to order new hardware, you know, we'd be waiting longer than that. So with the addition of virtualization and double take, as I mentioned, we were able to take our file and print system, which is a very critical system here, from a 24 to 30 hour recovery time down to minutes. And coupled with that, the ease of being able to implement virtualization and double take, we've actually considered other systems that were never deemed critical in the past. We're actually looking at those now to offer more reliability to those systems as well.
Great. Maybe, Bob, you could just speak to a bit about double take and what double take brings to the table.
Sure. We actually began working with Newfoundland Power in late 2005 on an implementation of double take. And what double take for Windows provides is real-time data replication along with monitoring and failover so that you can recover very quickly in the event of a disaster. And so it combines byte-level real-time replication so that changes are replicated from one server to another, either locally or to an off-site location, with the ability to start up that application and seamlessly redirect users to that secondary server so that they can continue to work during an outage.
Melvin, were there any other technologies that you considered when doing this project?
Yeah, during the onset of this virtualization technology that we were thinking about implementing, the folks here, we looked at both virtual server from Microsoft and VMware. And based on on the price at the time and the feature set and the alignment with our IT roadmap, we opted to go with the virtual server. As far as just a quick note on the feature set, we felt that what virtual server had to offer at that time was quite sufficient for what we were going to use it for in the coming year or so. And if we'll continue to keep an eye on how things go. But the key thing there was, as well, our alignment with our IT roadmap, because we were a Microsoft shop throughout.
Melvin, what are some of the benefits that you're seeing with the virtualization approach?
Sure, we've seen several. Actually, one of the key things we've noticed as well is the reduction in the amount of time it's required to get a server ready for a developer or an application support person, which that gives myself and another one of my colleagues a lot more time to concentrate on other projects and to even enhance our current environment, whether it be our virtual environment or our physical environment. We've also been able to implement it on many other of our critical systems. We've been able to decommission a lot of our older hardware, which consumed a lot of power, and plus, of course, out of support, and we didn't really need to buy more hardware for any existing applications we had. We were able to migrate those to virtual. These may have been older applications that were probably out of support anyway, so we never had to worry about vendors, and we were able to just migrate this to virtual, and that reduced the number of physical servers we had at the time by 10, and we've actually reduced that even more with probably another 5 or 6 as well, with more actually labeled to be migrated to virtual as well.
And what are some of the applications that you've used with the virtualization technology?
Of course, our test devel environment, that's all built around virtual. We have all of our corporate web applications in development on those. Great Plains, Avantis. Our Exchange production DR site is actually on virtual. Our file and print is on virtual. And we have an application called IVR that interfaces to our outage system. And, of course, our test developer is fairly large as well. So
there's lots of benefits to using virtualization for disaster recovery. Should IT managers then abandon traditional solutions in favor of using virtualization?
That's actually a great question. I think, in all honesty, I think this is a situation where it's not an either-or decision for IT managers. I think most customers are looking at using virtualization technologies to shore up their existing disaster recovery and business continuity strategies, and using technologies like real-time replication and failover in addition to traditional tape-based backup technologies. The challenge for IT administrators is to determine which of the data sets and which of the applications in their environment are most critical to the operation of the company, and then apply the right level of protection to each of those workloads. And so you might have some solutions, some data and applications within an environment that warrant real-time replication and failover, perhaps to a virtual machine at a DR site, while others might just warrant a daily backup to tape and then recovery within hours or days if an outage should occur.
The other application of virtualization technology that is increasingly popular among our customers is remote office management. Bruce, why do you think it is that we're seeing this?
Well, from a business perspective, one of the biggest challenges associated with IT operations in branch offices is the staffing costs, the costs of actually having trained or technical people either on site or going to that site. A lot of this can be alleviated by streamlining the IT infrastructure, which can be done in several ways. Things like consolidating the network services by running them within virtual machines is one key way of doing it because of sort of cost and time and resource benefits. Cost reduction efforts are not specific just to the branch offices, but streamlining the branch office infrastructure can often contribute significantly towards the sort of total cost of ownership. And that's something that's particularly keen here with a lot of companies having a lot of sort of remote offices. And those generally put a lot of the cost onto managing and maintaining a system. Areas that generally focus for cost reduction efforts include things like maximizing the current investment on the hardware, because in a lot of cases we have a lot of hardware sitting at the remote sites, which is being underutilized. Even things like reducing server sprawl, so reducing the number of physical servers that are in those locations, to reduce things like power costs, physical server costs, but also sort of really maximizing our capital expenditure on the hardware and the software itself. I mean, one of the key things to doing all of this is about reducing the complexity of the infrastructure. I mean, that certainly helps us in terms of keeping down the costs of monitoring, management, maintenance, and keeping the system going. And one of the benefits a lot of customers are telling us about is really standardizing the infrastructure components to really sort of facilitate management and sort of purchasing, that sort of thing. I mean, server consolidation is one of the most effective methods of streamlining branch office services. in a lot of cases where we're talking about a lot of the costs are associated with keeping our systems running rather than even implementing new technologies, if you can imagine your IT costs or your staff being able to work on a backup rather than on the production server and know the impact that rolling out patches, updates, new software, new resources, new facilities, new services to the remote site is actually going to have before they even go out on site. And it becomes more of a file copy process at the other end. So in other words, you may not need very technical staff there anyway. So a lot of it's really about sort of keeping the cost down and leveraging your resources, especially your tech support resources or your technical resources in the central office and rolling those out to the branch side.
As a consultant, Dale, you must have seen a number of these types of scenarios in the field. So can you give us any specific scenario examples where virtualization may make a positive impact on a branch office?
Absolutely. As Bruce mentioned, there's an awful lot of hardware that's deployed to branch offices today. We see that at many customers. Certainly, that can be a combination of newer hardware and older hardware as well. And it presents a real challenge in terms of manageability and supportability of that. Requires potentially on-site support staff just because of the sheer quantity of systems that need to be managed. The other negative to that is it, a lot of the hardware is running older operating systems because it's supporting line of business applications that just continue to work or may not run effectively on newer operating systems or newer hardware. So in branch office scenarios, we see a lot of Windows NT4 based servers out there running line of business applications. And these are great candidates to be converted to virtual machines. This buys the organization some time to allow those applications to potentially be rewritten or migrated to newer supported platforms. At the same time, we're also reducing the number of physical servers that we need to manage in that environment and maintaining that separation that potentially was the reason that we purchased so many physical servers to begin with. And this doesn't remove the requirement to migrate those line business applications to newer operating system. We need to make sure that there's a separate stream in place, which may be working on rewriting those applications to make sure that over time, those get moved to a newer supported platform.
Also, can you speak to what IT managers need to consider before they begin a virtualization implementation? Are there key things that they need to think about?
Absolutely. I mean, when we're looking at doing any type of virtualization project, we need to make sure that we plan it carefully. We want to take a look at the applications that we think might be good candidates for virtualization and reinforce that, yes, they are in fact capable of being virtualized. We want to make sure that the vendor or developer of the application can support it in a virtualized environment. If not, that's a pretty risky undertaking. We don't want to move ourselves into a situation where we are creating a non-supported solution. Secondly, we want to make sure that we have enough resources assigned to that virtual machine. We want to make sure that it's not so CPU intensive that it requires a dedicated piece of hardware. There are limitations in terms of what virtualization can provide today, so we need to work within those boundaries. Certainly, CPU is one thing that we need to consider. Memory is another, both for the host physical server and all the virtual machines running on top of that. Storage, I/O is also extremely important to make sure that the sustained workload can be supported by the physical server, as well as network I/O, which is often overlooked, but is also extremely important.
Yeah, one of the key things we looked at was certainly careful planning of our hosts. And when we considered purchasing our main host to run our virtual machines, we certainly looked at fast CPU, not necessarily the best, but certainly high-speed CPUs and multiple ones, lots of memory, storage I/O, we went with fast disk, and of course what Dale had mentioned, network, which is something overlooked, but of course we certainly had lots of network ports that we could, because we knew we were going to run multiple machines, so we wanted to make sure we had adequate resources for all those machines.
Melvin brings up a good point in that you sometimes need to invest to make sure that the project is successful. So, you know, if you have existing hardware out there that's running in that branch office, which can support your target workloads, that's great. But you may want to look at investing and perhaps standardizing on new hardware platforms, like Bruce mentioned, to make sure that over time you're getting a better return on investment. It's easier to support and easier to manage.
You speak about being easy to manage. When you have a physical server, you know, you see the box there and there's a one-to-one ratio. But with virtual machines, you can have one physical box and you can have, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10, however many virtual machines. What about management of all these machines?
Well, management can be a real challenge. And I think someone mentioned earlier, you know, we have to be cognizant of server sprawl as well. So management becomes extremely important. And we have a great new tool coming to market called Virtual Machine Manager, which really aids in the management of virtualized servers. It provides support of provisioning of those virtual machines, provides library functionality, et cetera, but also integrates with Operations Manager, System Center Operations Manager, to provide a real all-encompassing view of not only what's happening on my virtualized workloads, but also what's happening on my physical workloads, so that I can either, one, determine whether or not potentially that virtualized workload is maybe not the best candidate for virtualization. Maybe I want to move it back to a physical server. Or I can also look at my existing physical servers that I may not have targeted for virtualization yet and really identify those as good candidates and really make sure that overall my systems are running effective.
Bob, are there any other challenges that you think IT managers should consider before deciding to implement a virtualization solution?
I think it's important for IT organizations to understand that while there are certainly a ton of benefits to running workloads within virtual machines, that in general, some of the things that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis from an IT perspective with physical machines, we still have to deal with in a virtual world as well. And so there's the same need to be able to, you know, continuously manage and monitor these workloads just like we did when they were on a physical server. And in addition, I know it's been mentioned a couple of times that, you know, it's also important for IT managers to be mindful for the potential of virtual server sprawl. It's one of the big benefits of virtualization is this ability to quickly deploy new virtual machines. And so it's very important to keep the number of virtual servers that you have manageable, just as you would the number of physical servers.
Yeah, I mean, the key points that, you know, IT managers like myself and some other folks look at with physical servers when we say, well, if someone wants a new application or a new service put in, well, we look at it and say, well, can it run on an existing server? That passes right over to the virtual environment as well. If someone asks for an application, we look at a current virtual server and say, well, can we put it there? And that'll help us prevent server sprawl. But Bob and Dale are correct. With the ease of implementation of virtual machines, it's easy to get into the mode of server sprawl and the virtual server as well.
So we're almost out of time now. And Bruce, I'm going to direct my last question to you. Just can you tell us what is the, you know, one or two things that you would want IT managers to think of when it comes to virtualization technology?
Sure. Solutions shouldn't really introduce a lot of added complexity to the IT organization. One thing to really consider is building on top of your existing investments in your infrastructure, software, hardware, and also looking at making sure that you can sort of manage and maintain it. I mean, IT organizations really should think about the entire life cycle of everything from planning to deployment, ongoing management, maintenance, that sort of thing. And so Microsoft as a company continues very much to invest on an integrated approach to virtualization from the desktop to the data center to enable you to sort of manage and maintain that virtualized infrastructure in the same way that you would the physical infrastructure and being able to use tools like System Center Manager across the whole stack.
Thanks so much, gentlemen, for taking the time today to share your experiences and your knowledge with us.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That concludes this episode of the IT Manager Podcast. We hope that what you've heard today inspires you to look at the opportunities that virtualization can open to your business. Let us know what you thought of this episode by posting a comment at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast, where you'll also find supplementary resources and other podcast episodes. Thanks for listening.